Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN.
First, we're going to honor the fact that we are 63rd on the Talkers Heavy 100 list.
But you know why we'll never get a proclamation?
Because no one cares, Tom.
That's right.
No one cares.
That's right. Well, we care.
It's Tom Bowerly.
I want to pee with men.
And David Bellavia.
I don't even know how it happened or what goes into it, but I will say that, yes, Bowerly and Bellavia, 63rd on the heavy hitters list, just came out. Do you know who says they're proud to be 63rd? A really good golfer. You know, like a PGA Tour golfer is like, hey, man, I finished 63rd in the Masters. You're like, wow. Look at you, Mr. Golfing Guy.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia.
How
they sound like dolphins.
On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome back. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we have, as promised, we don't say things we don't mean here. We have a pair of tickets to Niagara Jazz Festival flagship event, Jazz in the City, Friday, July 27th at First Ontario Performing Arts Center. That's Center the Canadian Way. In St. Catharines, Canada, valued at $90. You must be 21 or older and have an enhanced license or passport to cross the border. General contest rules apply. Caller 9 at 644-9875 wins those tickets. That's 644-9875. 2 minutes ago, we got a text. Big accident on the 290 East by Main Street. All but one lane is blocked off. Huge backup. Thank you very much for that information. If I had a nickel for every accident at that location, I think we'd already be retired. Let's go to Buffalo attorney, nationally known, of course, Paul Cambria, to get his take on the allegations against LeSean McCoy. Paul, thanks for calling into Bowerly and Bellavia on WBEN.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the allegations against LeSean McCoy. There are four possibilities we've been through. Number one, he suborned an attack. Number two, a friend did it without his knowledge. Number three, it was a stranger. Number four, the woman did it to herself, Tawana Brawley style, maybe in order to avoid eviction from the house in which she's squatting. Do you think those are the only four choices?
Number five, he didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, that would be contained in number three, the stranger. If it was just a stranger who just ambled in and he didn't have anything to do with it, that was implicit in the stranger argument.
Well, it doesn't have to be a stranger. I this morning we were talking about this, and number one, I have no faith in anything that comes over social media. Not about to make any judgments, jump on it, sensationalize it, or anything else. You have to wait till the real hard, cold facts come in before you can actually form an opinion. Here, I've had so much experience now. Professional athletes are targets. They're walking around with bullseyes. People know they have money. They'll make things up in order to get to that money or to be with them. And so we don't know if that's going on here. So you ask yourself, well, how did this person get assaulted? Well, how about this scenario? What if she had some friends who weren't exactly, you know, the best of people? They would know exactly what jewelry she had. They'd easily be able to identify it. And then they could pull something off where they'd wind up stealing it. And he would have nothing to do with it. So, I mean, those scenarios are all out there. And I'm not about to buy into social media. I want to wait until the police do their work, the lawyers for McCoy do their work, and then we'll see actually what's real.
Paul, can we draw any inferences about the relationship and the possibility of a woman scorn theory by the fact that she was squatting in a home and he tried to evict her? Can we deduce anything about her overall character based on that?
Well, think about it. He tried to evict her legally. He hired an attorney for her to leave, and she wouldn't leave. So that's someone who's desperate, in my opinion, who would defy him, defy the law, and they're capable of anything. And perhaps their friends are capable of things as well. Remember, you know, professional athletes are major meal tickets, and so people aren't so easily separated from them, especially people who, you know, have a relationship, whether it be a man or a woman. You know, there are a lot of successful women athletes as well with tons of money, and so they could fall victim also.
You know, Paul, I'm fascinated by how the role of attorney has almost evolved with social media now. And in the old days, you know, when you look at OJ and the situation of, this was all about getting OJ out of jail. That's what it was about, his civil liberties and keeping him out of prison as his attorney. Today, you got to worry about this person's reputation. You got to worry about, you know, this person's ability to produce for their families in the future, because even if you do your job and they don't end up going to jail, their whole careers could be over.
Well, you know, the first thing that happens these days on both the prosecution side, the defense side, and on the civil, in the civil arena, the plaintiff and defendant side, is if you have a client, they walk in, they have some issue, the first thing you tell them is shut down your social media and let me see what you put on there. And have you put anything on there about this? Or people will come in and say, look, I'm being victimized in social media, and none of this is true, but there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know, unlike a newspaper or a magazine, somebody, an editor, had to filter that. When it comes to social media, there is no filter. People can say whatever they want. Look at the revenge porn situation.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, you know, it's a real problem. Social media is wonderful, but on the other hand, it could be horrible.
We are talking with Paul Cambria on News Radio 930 WBEN about the LeSean McCoy situation. Paul, do you find it a little bit unusual that somebody who knows the alleged victim would come out and say that LeSean McCoy beat his son, beat his dog, and abused drugs when, to the best of our knowledge, there was never a report made to the police about such violations of the law?
Well, you know, and you can analyze that this way. Number one, it's just plain old revenge. Or number two, it could be somebody who's trying to sell that sort of situation. In other words, hey, you want me to stop saying these things? Pay me off. I mean, we get that all the time. I've represented a lot of professional athletes, and I'll get calls from civil lawyers before the actual court situation is even over. And they're just looking for money. You know, they're looking for a way to get a payday. So that's, anything's possible. Believe me, you saw what happened in some of the cases that I had before with professional athletes. People went to the lengths of making things up, fabricating evidence.
Well, we've brought up the Patrick Kane situation, which was BS. We've brought up the Duke Lacrosse situation, which was BS. And, of course, the Tawana Brawley situation, which was BS.
Yeah, and look at all the people who jumped on board on those. In fact, the prosecutor in the lacrosse situation lost his license.
And somebody else committed suicide.
Bad. Yeah, it was that bad. So anything is possible, and until there's an investigation and some kind of proof, to me, nobody should prejudge this guy.
Absolutely. We're talking with Paul Cambria on News Radio 930 WBEN. Paul, LeSean McCoy himself personally, absolutely, positively could not have done any damage to this woman because he was documentedly in Miami at the time of the attack. Can you talk about what your experience as a defense attorney, what kind of investigating and what kind of questions and, well, maybe forensic analysis the police are going to use to ascertain the veracity of the victim's claims?
Well, I think, you know, here you gave me some information there about Miami and so on. I mean, I haven't independently investigated that. Take your word for it, whatever your sources are. But if it's true, think about that for a second. That completely already at the beginning shows that somebody's lying on the other side. And if they're lying about one thing, you know, a lie needs another lie to support it, and then it needs a good memory. It needs a good memory to remember all the lies so that you don't get tripped up. So, you know, here we're starting right off with somebody making a claim, and he can prove he's not even there. So to me, what we do is we have professional investigators we use. I do investigation myself. I like to do things hands-on also. And eventually, you know, you build your case. The next thing will be look at who has the motive. Who are the witnesses on the other side? What are their motives? What have they said to other people? What do they say on social media? I mean, all those things have to be explored.
I would imagine the fact that LaShawn McCoy is not personally accused of having personally struck the victim would be a complicating factor for the defense. In that, I mean, how do you prove that LaShawn McCoy did not suborn somebody to do this evil act if it was, in fact, a crime?
I'm surprised at you, Tom. You're such a smart guy. He doesn't have to prove his innocence.
Well, I know the state has to prove his guilt, but you also want to offer compelling arguments.
Yeah, you're talking about in the public opinion arena. He now has to clear himself because somebody's made this salacious kind of accusation. But frankly, when we get involved in these, we say, hey, what do you got? We're not going to come forward and say to you, we didn't do this, that, the other. I mean, on the other hand, if you can show you were in Miami when this act took place, that's something you would give up because that's irrefutable. But otherwise, I'd lay back, let them try to make their case, see if they have a case.
Paul, we got a break for traffic and weather, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about what it would take to get an indictment against LaShawn McCoy. What has to be shown in that process? And I think you might have some experience along those lines, so hold on. We're talking with one of the country's best known and most respected attorneys. His name is Paul Cambria. He's a defense attorney. We're talking with Paul Cambria on News Radio 930 WBEN. Paul, we're all, of course, familiar with the idea that it is, of course, the burden of the state to prove the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. But in terms of an indictment so that everything may get underway, what kind of evidence needs to be produced and by whom?
Well, first of all, indictments are rendered by grand juries. Prosecution has full control of the indictment process. They decide what witnesses to call, what evidence to introduce, what questions to ask. There's no defense attorney involved in any part of that. So they can basically steer that whatever way they want to. I would like to think in a case like this with a professional athlete, and at this point anyway, some very sketchy accusations, that a prosecutor would do their duty and be diligent. Their burden is only reasonable cause to believe. Reasonable cause to believe a crime occurred, reasonable cause to believe X person is involved in that crime. That's all you need for an indictment. You have to have 12 people who vote that way out of typically 23 who are called before a grand jury, 18 for a quorum, and that's basically how it goes.
Paul, I'm wondering if it's time for legislation of victim, if this turns out to be fraudulent, if this turns out to be something made up, is it time that there is legislation to say, you know what, if you go out there and go after someone's money or their reputation or both, there's, you know, automatic, this is the new law, you're breaking the law doing this.
There'd be some kind of criminalization of false speech. Right now, false speech, unless it's under oath somewhere, false speech can be punished by a civil suit of defamation. That's basically it.
But, Paul, when you're dealing with a public figure, does the public figure not have a higher standard or burden of proof?
Well, that's true. A public figure, you have to show actual malice. That'd be easy in a case like this because if you accuse somebody
of a
crime,
felony,
it happened here.
Yeah.
Now that basically is...
That'd be a slam dunk, but again, these people...
...per se.
So if you had a client that wanted to follow suit, again, no one's going to cover that case. No one's going to care if it gets, you know, whatever happens there. I just see, we talk about revenge porn. It took legislation for people to even know what that was. But now people in Nebraska and Iowa are educated on what, you know, people's rights are when it comes to their privacy.
Well, the question is, can a statute be passed that criminalizes false statements over the internet or through social media or publicly? I mean, so far we haven't had that. The remedy has been a civil remedy of defamation. And it's a tricky one because the free speech is involved. And you can have free speech if it's false speech. It matters if it's commercial. You know, you're advertising right. a product and so on. On the other hand, in the regular arena of speech, we haven't criminalized speech unless it is, you know, call to arms, fighting words, things like that. We haven't done that. And that would be a step forward. And the question is whether or not something like that would be passed. Could it be constitutional? It's complicated.
Well, Paul Cambria, I know you're a busy guy and you've got a lot of better things to do than to talk with me, but we're very grateful for your time this afternoon once again on WBEN. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Paul Cambria joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. He's a frequent flyer on the program. Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930, WBEN. I think I'm 4 days away from receiving my white Telecaster. Yeah, baby. Those of you who are on my face on the Bowerly and Bellavia Facebook page, I randomly, on a day off, posted, I need an American Standard Telecaster. That is all. Well, as fate would have it, one came my way, worked out a trade that made sense for both of us, and I'm just counting the moments. Now, let's just be very, very honest. I'm still going to suck at that guitar as much as I do the others, but I'll have something new and kind of cool to suck with. So I'm all about that. It's 80 degrees at News Radio 930 WBEN.
So here's
just because you buy guitars doesn't mean that I'm Jimi Hendrix or even Dave Viterna, because I'm not.
Well, you know,
or John LaJoy, who's listening.
You know, we just noticed something real quick. I wanted to make this statement there. Oh. The Kavanaugh guy.
Yeah.
He looks like he's out of shape.
You know what? Brett Kavanaugh, first of all, the name Brett, but...
Seriously, we have an official... Did you ever think you would ever see the day a president or a Supreme Court justice would be named Brett?
Well, I never thought we'd see the day an American president would be named Barack.
Well, that's very
true. But that's
true,
another
too.
Story altogether.
But
you
Brett
can't judge
is one of those names
name.
Where now that there's a Brett, you can be president of the United States and be Brett. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Brett.
Yeah.
Bret Hart.
Do you think a Bruce could ever be president of the United States?
I don't think we'll ever see that day.
No? Okay.
No, not a Bruce.
Thought I'd ask.
And no, I don't think we'll ever see a man with a mustache.
You know what? It's interesting you mention that because I contend that one of the reasons...
a woman with a mustache.
Well, no, that's more possible.
No, I don't think you'll ever see a man with a mustache run for president.
Well, you know, we've been talking about the LaShawn McCoy situation on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I want to branch out. I want to see if anybody calls in on this. Did you have the end of a relationship from hell? Now, we do not want specific names, okay? Because
no.
You just get us into trouble with the attorneys, and it's really going to suck. But have you been involved in a relationship which ended with you actually having to go to court to evict somebody from your premises, maybe a live-in situation? Have you been in a relationship where the person on the other end simply could not say no for an answer and you ended up being the victim of stalking? And folks, these days, there's all kinds of stalking. There's personal stalking, there's
cyber.
The infamous drive-by, and there is cyber stalking.
I gotta tell you, I think it would make us all feel so much better if you started your story with, I'm alleging.
As opposed to what?
No, I'm just saying, like, my boyfriend did this to me. Just say, I'm alleging my boyfriend did the following things. Listen, here's the thing. As a parent, okay, there's a totally different. I am also fascinated by people who are close to people who are involved in toxic stalking relationships, because it's very difficult for brothers, for sisters, moms and dads to endure their children going through this. Because you know what? You've all seen the horror stories. You all want to protect your babies, right? At the same time, this might be the father of one of your grandkids. You don't want to create a situation by calling the police, involving yourself. You don't want to fracture a relationship because you're looking out for them. But it's weird to be near as a friend or an acquaintance of someone who's going through a relationship like that, because you don't know what your role is.
And, okay, folks, here's another question for you on News Radio 930 WBEN. What have you personally done when somebody you care about is in a relationship and you know that it is not going to end well for them? Okay, I said earlier, anytime the word squatter's rights are mentioned by somebody who you are living with,
that's a ridiculous thing to hear.
You need to run out of that situation as fast as possible. Do not pass go. Do not collect security deposit. So, what is your role when you see somebody you care about in a really crappy relationship? Are you the kind of person who keeps his mouth shut, or are you the kind of person who says, hey, you might hate me for saying this, but here is why this person is no good for you, and you got to run, or he or she is going to destroy your entire life.
Yeah, I mean, again, squatter's rights doesn't mean that you live in the house for free. I mean, the idea that, you know, you can sit somehow, we live in a Grand Theft Auto 5 world where if you evade the police long enough, they just stop looking for you. I mean, the idea that you're going to... It used to be, the laws of New York used to be, you had to be 6 months to claim squatter's rights, right? Someone just texted me and informed me that that's now 30 days in New York State.
Which means...
So 30 days of being on a property is long enough to claim that you are a squatter on that property.
And I assure you, any psycho who starts talking about squatter's rights already knows that all he or she has to do is be there for 30 days, and then they've got their hands around your throat. And once you walk away from a relationship like that, you stay away. You can't get sucked back in. Are you the kind of person listening to Bowerly and Bellavia? Do you keep your mouth shut when friends of yours are in really crappy relationships? Or are you the kind of person who says, look, you're going to hate me, but you need to get out, bro, and here is why? 803-0930 is the phone number. People tell David he's got to get away from me every single day. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Have you ever been in a relationship that ended with great toxicity? And when you see your friends in relationships, you know, like LaShawn McCoy's, are you tempted to, not just tempted to, but do you actually talk to the person, or do you keep your mouth shut? Or do you communicate in some way? Like, maybe you don't want to be blamed, so maybe you write an anonymous letter an anonymous email?
I got to tell you, I don't understand. I don't believe that there are people out there that would witness a physical altercation and not get involved in some way. I've seen strangers at the grocery store, old women, old men, young people. Someone is going to get involved if it's a physical situation. But if the physicality is happening behind closed doors, or you've been approached with something with that, what is your role? Because I'll tell you what, if you're right and you're saving someone from an abusive situation, you're not only a hero, you're saving someone's life. Okay? But if you're wrong, you are absolutely 100% ruined that relationship.
Well, there's all kinds of abuse, dude. As you well know, there is physical abuse.
Right.
There is psychological abuse. And then there are the users. And I'm not talking necessarily about drugs. I'm talking about people who see a meal ticket and they want to latch on to that meal ticket. And again, these are people who have studied the law. They know the law. So you've got your nice house on, in Spalding Lake. You're a successful businesswoman. Some guy comes along. Oh, yeah, let's move in together. Da, 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 da.
30 days later, he says, well, I'm claiming squatter's rights, baby, because I've been living here 30 days. Good luck evicting me. I mean, that can cast a shadow over you.
Oh, that, I just think that's it's absolutely repugnant behavior. I mean, when we talk about squatter's rights, mostly you're talking about people, homeless people, living on a property that nobody knows, was never meant for residential, and they're saying, you know what, we now live here. There are so many different arguments that could be made with squatter's rights, whether or not you're breaking a deal, if it's a lease, how many, you know, what the agreement was, two names are on a mortgage or one name. I'm getting to this is such a black and white case of a person who is legally told to get out, and you are well within your rights, but the law states that there's a certain process you have to go through to evict someone. I'm sorry, but that's like the most selfish thing in the world. To live where you aren't welcome to live is almost as repugnant as entering someone's country and expecting handouts.
Well, look, to me, it is it's trashy behavior, and frankly, it is not normal behavior, or we'd hear a lot more about it. We're at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Have you ever been in a relationship that ended with great toxicity, maybe even stalking, and when you see somebody you love who is being taken advantage of or just in a bad situation, and you see it, but they are blinded by love or lust, what do you do? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Kathy on WBEN. Kathy, what's up?
Yes, hi. My mom and dad had, it didn't happen in front of us a whole lot, but it had come out that they had, you know, physical abuse between the two of them, mostly my father towards my mother. And I will say, in the time that I was growing up, I didn't really witness it. So I don't know how they got away with that, but it did happen, and my father did come clean with it. But my mom died. And after my mom died, my dad remarried. And I had never seen my father with anybody else, and everything seemed really well. And shortly after they were married, his wife said something to me that led me to believe that she was being abused. But I asked her how things were going, how's everything, and she just didn't answer me right. And I asked her to please pull the car over.
What does that mean, didn't answer you right?
Well, she didn't have a lot of enthusiasm, and something, it just kind of, I don't know, they weren't married for very long. So it just seemed as though she should have been more like, well, everything's great or something, but there was just some kind of hesitation when she answered me. So I asked her that I told her I had some questions for her, and I asked her to pull the car over. And when we had this conversation, I asked her straight out, and she answered me straight out, and I told her everything, and she left him.
Wow. So you broke up your dad's second marriage and might have actually saved a life.
Well, I don't think I saved her life. Well, her miserable life. But, you know, I don't know that he would have. But you know what? He was abusive. And I just didn't think that he deserved her.
Well, was he the kind of personality type that if a neighbor found out that he was an abuser would be absolutely stunned and shocked?
Yeah, you know, everybody loves him. Everybody thinks he's great. And when we were kids, it was, you know, he was dad, and everybody loved dad, and everybody loved mom. And you just kind of think that, I don't know, that things get said, like, I don't know who rattled your cage, you know, when she would speak. I don't know, just not nice things. And I got to tell you, I did not marry that way.
Kathy, we got to put you on hold. If you want to stay on hold, we got to take a quick break. Yeah, but that's an excellent call.
Absolutely. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. Let's get to the calls. And Kathy is back with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Kathy, did your dad ever get another girlfriend, or was there another woman, a significant other in his life?
Well, he's an older man now, so he is he's harmless, it seems. Now, and yes, he does.
Oh, we just had one with a hammer who wasn't so harmless.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, Sometimes I'd say that he's being super kind, and I'll say to my sister, well, I hope nobody else is getting it. Like, I hope his nasty mouth or, you know, what are, you know, who else is he spending time with? Because somebody's always getting it as far as, you know, whatever he decides to lash out with, now just verbally or emotionally.
Is your dad a depressed guy? Because somebody once said that the depression is rage turned inward, rage is depression turned outward.
Say that again?
Never mind. What do you think the future is going to be for your dad?
Rage turned inward. He is not depressed. Maybe late in life now. I don't know what drove him at that time. I really don't. But I will tell you that as far as a stranger goes, or right, a coworker, or something like that, if I was to say to someone, so how's it going? Or, you know, how's everything? And they don't answer, well, is everything okay? Is everything okay at home? And if somebody was to say, make any indication that, oh, maybe things are, you know, their husband or isn't, maybe things aren't perfect, I come right out and say, is he hitting you? Is anybody hitting you? Is anybody abusing you? Are you okay? And they either look at me like I have eight heads.
Right.
Or somebody looks at you like, why did you say that to me?
Well, Kathy, it's nice to know that somebody cares and people are lucky to have you as a friend. Thank you very much for the call. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We'll have more on Bowerly and Bellavia coming up.
Yeah, just a quick update. Mike Rodak of ESPN is reporting that the victim in these LeSean McCoy home invasion is, quote, working on a potential personal injury claim on behalf of Ms. Corden, the victim, end quote, meaning that her attorneys are going to look for a potential personal injury. Mike Rodak goes on to say that in a civil lawsuit, there'd be less of a burden of proof than any criminal charges filed. Who's going after? So to me, I don't know what that even means, because we don't have charges. We don't even know. No one has said anything about LeSean McCoy outside of Instagram.
I'm certainly not a lawyer, but I can play one sometimes. Obviously, criminal cases, beyond a reasonable doubt. Civil cases, preponderance of the evidence, just 51%, as Billy Bob pointed out in Goliath Season 1, which was much better than Season 2.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.